Welcome to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast. Yes, it's 100% unscripted, 100% unrehearsed, 100% unedited, and 100% real. I'm your host, Mark A. Preston. And today's guest, well, I'll let her introduce herself because I don't know that much about her. Hello, Nina.
Hi, Mark. It's a real pleasure. Thank you for reaching out and saying, do you know what? Let's have a chat. And I thought, why the hell not?
Yeah. Just for anybody that doesn't know who you are, could you give me a bit of an overview of your background in the SEO industry, where you've come from, what your journey and what you do now?
Yeah. So I'm under the brand of SEO Lady. So that's my domain name. Things started for me knowing SEO before I knew what SEO was. So specifically the search engine eBay in 2004. Historically, one of my hobbies was to be a dance vinyl DJ. So technically, I'm an international DJ because I've DJed over in Ibiza and I've DJed down under in Australia and obviously around the UK as well. And over time, I've collected something like 6,000 records, all dance music. And I was really hating life working in advertising. And I thought, oh, this eBay looks good. So I started to list a few on eBay. And then I figured out that I could sell a record at $4.99 with the identical barcode number and sleeve and everything else than somebody that else that was listing it for 99 pence, simply because instead of saying Michael Jackson and Thriller, I would put 12-inch vinyl funky house record DJ Michael Jackson Thriller at the end. Because the way I thought about it was thinking sideways, what if people aren't really looking for Michael Jackson, but they stumble across somebody that's a DJ that's selling 12-inch vinyl records? So I didn't know that they were the fundamentals, and neither did I know that adding a sound clip, adding a link to the record on Juno Records, talking about personally, this is a record that I bought, or this is a record that was given to me. This is the feature in the remix. This is the year. This is the record number. This is the label that it was originally produced on. Might be a promo, might be a white label. So all of that was carrying on. And then I sold all my records after about 4 years. And I jumped into another sales job. And the owner said, can you have a look at our website? And I was like, yeah, what for? I need to be hiring Google for, I think it was invoice factoring or invoice processing. And this is in Somerset in Nailsea. So I said, well, yeah, well, I need access to your website, please. And then they sat me with a developer. And then he said, well, what do you know? And I said, well, I don't really, but using the theory that I've been selling on eBay, surely instead of putting welcome to my website or your brand name, if you Google the brand name, of course, they're going to be top of Google. It's the same as Funky Pigeon. Google doesn't know what Funky Pigeon is. They are a personalized cards website. So I kind of replaced all the homepage content with what I now know as keywords. And yeah, they increased. Do you remember Alexa, when Alexa was a thing, when you could verify your site on Alexa? This is going back, isn't it? And so, yeah, I got all of these. And then I read about directories, when directories were a thing. So I spent half my day looking where I could get people to link back to the domain. Things escalated. And after 6 months, I was looking for another job. And I saw this studio in Bristol. It was a printing company. And they advertised for I think they advertised it as a Google something. They didn't say SEO. So I went for the interview and they said, well, what experience have you got? And I said, well, I've done AdWords because I've just been doing it with the other chappy. And I said, I've increased their Alexa rank something like 13 million in 3 weeks. And so it's going the right way. I said, but the contract just finished. It was a temporary 6 month placement. So I'm immediately available and I just want to give it a shot. And he said, right, okay. Then I had the email and the phone call. Yep, come on down. So I started on the Monday, did the whole first week there, sat in, you know, big office. It's all, you know, very, very busy. They printed calendars 11 months, or rather, they printed calendars 11 months through the year, but all the sales for the other side of the business came in December for the following year, and diaries and things like that. So there was two arms of the business, and then they had the printing press downstairs for the personalized cards. and the developer team were behind me. And my job, which the funniest thing in the world, I was told to break the website. I want you to go into the website and I want you to act like a stupid first time user and I want you to make it fall over. And I was like, right, hold my beer. So I used to put in really random search queries. I'd overflow the text in the greetings card to see that it wouldn't wrap around, you know, take screenshots of that. And then with each product that they came in, I had to categorize them. So it would be Father's Day, Mother's Day, photo upload, and then the size, you know, that kind of thing. So each of those, I then now realize they were meta tags and they were the categories that help people fundamentally navigate around the website. So I did that, and that was like Monday to Friday, the first week. Monday, the second Monday, I rocked up. Director said to me, oh, by the way, big shout out to Richard Pepper. So what we did over the weekend was have a barbecue, and we decided to rebrand from Remind for You to Funky Pigeon. And we've been out and bought all the domains because people can't spell pigeon. So we've got P-I-D-G-E-O-N, all the misspellings, all the .co.uk's, all the .com's. We've got this idea for a really funky pigeon with a satchel, obviously, because he's going to be delivering the letters and delivering the cards. And so now I want you to beat Moonpig. And I said, okay, what for? And he said, personalized cards. So normally, if you work with a client nowadays, you know that the client will say to you, oh, I've got this spreadsheet of 400 keywords and I want to rank for them all. And then you say, look, can we drill this down and start to prioritize, first of all? And I said, anything else? And he says, no, just personalized cards. Okay. So I created a Google alert for Moonpig. So every time that they had something published, I would be hot on their steps. I'd be looking where they're getting the links from, what articles they're publishing, that kind of thing. And then I joined the UK Business Forum. There was one thing that I wasn't aware of course I wasn't, is that there's a Google change of address. So the old domain was probably around 8 years old, which is rare for someone in 2008. And it was a very, very established brand. And it was towards the bottom of Google page one for personalized cards. And I thought, two keywords, that's a tough one, isn't it? So I did the Google change of address. This was probably in month three of me trying and stalking Moonpig, releasing my own blog, because I was active on Twitter doing giveaways, retweet for a chance to win a free card or a £50 gift voucher. So I got the word of mouth going on there. The old Google blogger, remember those? So I used to post on there, and then I created, obviously, a blog on the website, videos on YouTube. And again, it's the eBay principle. So I'm starting every video with personalized cards online, photo upload, blah, 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 and then Funky Pigeon, obviously, at the end, because we don't want people to know it's a brand name. And then I was linking from the description to, if the video was about Mother's Day cards, it would obviously go to the Mother's Day category. And if it was just a generic one, then it would just go to the homepage. So this is the beginnings of video SEO. And these are the safe backlinks that I was looking for. So no more directories. I was creating my own mini sites, if you like, or just citations across the board. Had an absolute ball. Went onto the forums. They said, you need to do the Google change of address. I'm getting free information. This is all free. So I was like, thank you very much. And let me give that a go. And I think it was the Thursday. I said, I'm going to do this, boss. And this is what I'm going to do. I've just discovered this. And he said, yeah, whatever, Nina. We trust you. Just get on with it. So I think it was Tuesday the following week. I was walking down this massive office towards Richard's office. And he was walking towards me with his hand in the air. And it's so far away, I can't talk to him. So I'm walking towards him and he's just got his hand in the air like that. And I always remember it. And I got up close to him and he's still got his hand in the air. And then he just kind of like nodded. So I did that with my hand. And then he slapped me and he said, Google page one, position one for personalized cards. You beat Moonpig. And I said, what? He said, oh, yeah, every morning when I do, I get in the office, I go to Chrome Incognito or whatever incognito, and I search for personalized cards, and Moonpig obviously is always there. He says, you've done it. And so that Funky Pigeon, the domain itself, was probably only about 3 or 4 months old. And then I sat and I said, okay, so we've done personalized cards. Now what? And he said, keep us there. And I tried to say, you can't get better than Google page one. If you're not going to give me additional search phrases, I'm just going to make stuff up. And he went, do that then. So the next one was, because we were kind of like July, August, I thought Christmas cards, because Funky Pigeon do packs of 10, or you can do your own wedding invitations, you know, in bulk load. I'll do Christmas cards. So I got the URL, fine, wrote a new blog post, whatever year it was for this. And then this was the pattern. So every year on the 4th of January, when he came back, I would then start a new blog post with the date in the URL, which I know now isn't an evergreen URL, but it worked for me at the time. So that every time I did a blog post, when Christmas comes and the traffic comes, my URL's 11, 12 months old. The amount of people that I get as a freelancer contacting me in November and screaming and saying, I need Christmas traffic now, doesn't work like that. It really doesn't. So it's now I'm in such a really good position. When I left Funky Pigeon, I then went into the beds industry, and that's when I launched my website. So I was kind of moonlighting. I was doing people per hour work at weekends and evenings and things, and absolutely adore the job that I did. Whether it was Funky Pigeon, the bed company, myself, I was just having fun. I was learning things. And eventually I thought, well, what am I going to be ranking in Google for? And at the time, I didn't think of the word freelancer because I had no help. So I was doing SEO, and then a lot of people were coming to me for training. So back on Skype, I used to do hour calls with trainers. And I'd do like the Google audit in advance, and I'd pick them apart, and, you know, I'd piss on the chips and destroy their homepage and say, why are you saying welcome to my website? You know, you're selling fizzy drinks bottles, for God's sake. Oh, yeah, I didn't realize it was that easy. As well, technically, the concept is easy, but the delivery is a different matter. And in 2024, it's 16 years of working here in my office in Somerset.
Wow. Wow. Do you know what? I just love doing these podcasts because you just never know what interesting conversations you're going to have.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just one amazing journey. And what I loved about that is, you know, you were just figuring it out as you went along,
yeah,
like most of us do.
Exactly.
You know, and that, you know, some things work, some things don't, and it's just figuring it out. And to say you started on a brand and basically what Funky Pigeon became then,
yeah,
it's like, you know, to be there at the birth of it kind of thing,
yeah,
must feel really, you know, personally touching for you.
I still keep in touch with Richard on LinkedIn. Every year he gets a birthday wish from me. And in fact, I introduced him to somebody that's in the gifting sector. And I emailed him and said, do you mind if I connect you with somebody that could do with a bit of advice? I said, I've given him some advice, obviously knowing about it, but Richard's now an independent consultant, advising gifting and personalized gifts, you know, across the UK. And I imagine overseas. I can't imagine him sticking to the UK. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy with his head screwed on. And yeah, I've got nothing but high praise for him.
Right. One thing I spotted when you were telling your story there is you mentioned something about using video SEO to gain backlinks. Backlinks from where and video SEO how?
Well, it's funny. I'm talking about this at Brighton SEO in April next year. So I don't want to share too much now because I don't want people to rock up and know what I'm going to say. But the concept is that you have a backlink in your description. So before the hashtags came into YouTube, it was the top of the description. So rather than saying buy our personalized cards, blah, 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 and then the link at the bottom would be Funky Pigeon, because if you don't actually click into the description, you do get a preview of the very, is it top two lines or something?
Yeah.
So by having your link there, it also acts as a visual aid to people that are browsing. And then they think, oh, well, why not? I'll just check it out. But what is really interesting is that obviously I get hired by agencies now as a freelance white label. And in all the years I've been in my career, not one of them have done this. And I can't understand how something so simple can be overlooked by so many. Anybody can do this. So the videos that I go and see with a client, so I've got a sheepskin client at the minute, and their videos are, they don't even say sheepskin in them. It will say their brand name, and then it will say the date that the video was published. So I'm the on-page girl helping with on-page SEO. They don't need backlinks. It's a really, really good brand. I don't need to touch anything of those. So that's a relief. I am the on-page girl. But the video thing, none of them have got descriptions in. They haven't got any keyword tags in there. Obviously, the titles aren't optimized. And because Google owns YouTube, you're effectively getting a link back from Google. And the whole thing is all wrapped into one. So if you then take your video and then you embed it, but the video is called SEO Freelancer Somerset, SEO Lady Nina Payne or whatever. If you are writing a blog about SEO Somerset, you want a video to say SEO Somerset in the title, and then you want a link to your blog, which is SEO Somerset, and then your tags and stuff like it is so easy.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's that connection between the page and the video. Like, yeah. It's common. I bring it down to common sense in essence.
It's logic.
But, yeah. I think that a lot of SEOs don't put the link, you know, in at the top of the description because they're not in that mindset. That link could drive a lot of business, but they're just thinking about links for ranking purposes. They just think, you know, there's so many other avenues, you know, to these links and profiles and everything that connects together to increase business itself.
So after this, then, are you going to go onto your YouTube channel and start linking out?
Actually, I used to do that, and for some reason, I stopped because I don't know why. I actually used to do that, and then I don't know why I just stopped doing that, but it's the connection. If that video that I post on YouTube has a direct relationship with a page on my website, then yes, you know, there's a link there. But I won't just post a link for the link's sake unless it's related. So, like, for the user journey, so it's seamlessly going through.
Yeah, I'd still add, even as I say, even if it's your homepage, if it's your domain, even if the video, I've always said you could give me a video of your grandma making an apple pie recipe and I could rank it for SEO Somerset. Or you, when was your first SEO speaking job?
I can't remember now, about 10 years ago.
Was that local? How did you get the gig?
Like anything in life, I stumbled into it. it was literally just a local networking event, and they said, oh, we need someone to talk about SEO. Can you do it? I said, why not?
That's the same. I didn't think.
And it's, you know, it's just how things happen in the industry and we progress along the journey. So apart from the video SEO side, What would you say your sort of thing, SEO thing is?
SEO thing is pre-AI, I could generate content and talk about futons and beds for 4 years and still come up with something new every month to talk about. And then it would be the related keywords, so space-saving ideas for kids. That's a good point, actually. So going back to eBay, the bed company had all of their eBay listings, and they said 3 foot Jeremy. Let's just create a bed's name is called Jeremy. And they had all of their eBay listings saying 3 foot Jeremy or 4 foot. And for me, I didn't know anything about beds. I didn't know that a single was 3 foot, that you've got a small double at 4 foot, and then you've got 4'6", which is a double. See, I remember all of these things. So I said, is there any way that I can download a spreadsheet for eBay? Because they were a power seller. And I said, so, and I sat down with a girl, and I said, okay, so you've got all of these here, but people don't know, you know, 3 foot Frank. It doesn't actually say wooden bed for children, single, with mattress, without mattress, free delivery. And I said, and in your description, you've just written 3 foot Frank, which doesn't make any sense. And historically, as I said, I've talked about futons and beds for 4 years. I do remember that the turnover on eBay plus other sources when I joined was 2 million and when I left was 5. And I really, really enjoyed my time there. But then I started to get training gigs coming through. So my first training gig was in Dublin, and I was working ad hoc for an agency in Ireland. And every week they'd have a new website, and the developers would email me and say, how do we prepare for Google with this? And I said, well, where's the homepage content? Google can't read images. Have you named them your alt tags? Like, you know, rather than your brand name, what you're doing? Oh, right. Okay. And this went on for quite a while until the director said, do you know what, Nina, we're just going to fly you over. We need you to tell these guys what to do once and for all, because we can see the email exchanges and you're saying the same thing over and over and over again. So I said, fine. So do you remember when, I don't know if it was EasyJet or Ryanair, they did flights for a fiver. Yeah. So they said, okay, so we've got this budget. We've applied for a local grant for digital improvement or whatever for their agency. They've been awarded this money. We're going to fly you over. And we, you know, how long do you want to stop for, and which date do you want to talk? And I said, well, if we start at which date you want me to talk, we'll move backwards from there. And he says, can you do the whole of a Monday, like a full 8 hours? Like, well, yeah, I can talk for England, as you probably guessed. Not a problem. So they flew me over on the Friday, and I just had the weekend in Dublin. And my mum came and flew over on the Saturday. We did the Red Bus tours, and we did all the touristy things, and had a whale of a time. And then, of course, she flew back on the Sunday and was like, oh, my daughter, oh, look at you doing things. You know, how are you feeling? Are you feeling nervous? And I was like, no, I've got so much to share. They're going to have to shut me up. I can't wait to be there. And yeah, so my first training gig was 10 web developers, and I used Funky Pigeon as a case study. So I'd already prepped all my slides and then more or less said what I've said to you today, is that this is what's going on. They recorded the session too. And effectively, as Dixon said to me last night, you out-trained yourself out of a job. I said, because after 3 weeks, they said, we don't need you anymore. And then next, I did keep in touch with the directors, and they were upfront about it. You did so well. We don't need you anymore. By the way, now we know what questions to ask. We have hired an in-house SEO that is not as experienced as you, but now we know that we can send her on training. And that's kind of been a big thing for me in going about networking. Portable toilets. Hi, Becky. Portable toilets in Somerset. Who knew talking about shit could be so fun? That was a networking event one evening in Somerset, and her parents were stepping down after about 25 years, and they said to their daughters, okay, you're taking over the business now. And they were on, they weren't even on a Wix website, they were on one-on-one website. And previous to that talk, I think they paid somebody £500, which was a ridiculous amount of money for 3 pages. So I went in and I had the, you know, they said, can I book a consultation? And I said, come round to my house. So they came round, and then I tore the shit out of their homepage. And I said, you know, welcome to your brand and things like that. I said, you do need to talk about shit, but you're not allowed to say shit. And so she's very brutal, I think, on social media, because that's a different thing, but you don't want those kind of words. I remember making a mistake as well. I think this is the first mistake I've made. I said, you know, what do you want? She went, portable toilet hire, hot water hire, portable toilets for construction sites, festival toilet hire, blah, 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 portable, portaloo. So I start filling out a new blog post about hire portaloos in Somerset. And then they had a takedown notice from a very, very nice man at Portaloo who said, we've got a Google alert. Every time somebody mentions Portaloo, we know that someone's using our brand name. And so you're going to have to delete everything. And Becky rang me up and she was absolutely beside herself saying, I'm really sorry, Nina. I kind of knew, but I didn't know I was breaking legal things. And you went ahead and did it. And I thought, well, I don't care. She knows what she's doing. And I was like, I don't know anything. But she said it was wonderful on the phone. He was really apologetic and said, I'm sorry, but all the content that Nina's written is going to have to be deleted. And I said, well, it's not. I just changed. The URL was Portaloo at that time. And I had WordPress tags and categories that said Portaloo as well. So I went through and deleted all of those. I did 301 them to the main blog because I didn't want to cause a 404. So scrubbed all incidences of Portaloo on the website. The other takedown notice was by fax. There was a domain in Bristol, henryhoover.com. And I used to go every Friday and spend, I think it was 6 hours I'd go there. So I worked 4 days a week in my office. And then I was the in-house SEO every Friday. And I handled some of the Google ads there as well. And I was in the office chatting with the owner one afternoon and the fax machine went and she pulled it off and she said, does this look genuine? And it was from Hoover in America. And bearing in mind what I know about Portaloo, I said, yeah, that looks, let's have a look at the bottom. Let's have a look. And I said, and I think the fax was like 5 or 6 pages. And he said, we will give you, I think, 1 month's notice. But because they were pneumatic distributors, obviously that included the Henry Hoover brand and they bought Henry Hoover, as their domain name and they branded their entire thing, you know, logos and everything with Henry Hoover. So it essentially meant that they got to completely work around their business. So I went home that Friday and the following week I had an email from the owner. She said, do you think it's possible to rank for Hoover on the website, bearing in mind that we're not allowed to mention the word Hoover? And I said, no. So that was me out of a job again.
You know what? That was so interesting because I've come across this scenario myself in the past. You know, for a book, not in, obviously in Hoover's, but more in the windscreen replacement.
Oh, right. What, for Autoglass?
Yeah. Obviously, the company I was working with, let's just say that they was taking business away from Autoglass for keywords that they'd apparently trademarked.
Yeah.
You know, and that was such a big lesson to actually look at the trademarks and on phrases and everything whilst you're doing research. And from that, until then, I haven't even thought about it.
No, you don't.
You know, and this is what I mean about, we just stumble upon things as SEOs, you know, but the amount of, from that day on, the amount of businesses have saved lots of heartache and money by just doing the researches first, which very rarely come across nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's like adding a negative word in Google Ads, isn't it? You know, you don't want to have a competitor's brand or a brand name taking up clicks on your website to find out that the traffic that comes in is actually looking for that brand and it's a total waste of a click.
Yeah, and this whole aspect of, I love how you think about the whole, not just SEO, not just keywords, but the impact to the whole brand, the whole business surrounding it. And do you feel like there's a disconnection within the SEO industry on SEOs looking at data and keywords and not really understanding the business side of things and how it connects together?
I think that's difficult to quantify. I know that there's some people that are looking to retire or change job because of the recent Google updates and specifically with niche sites. So historically, niche sites, from what I've learned, in the past couple of weeks is that everybody that was locked in over the pandemic started these really, really random new sites selling affiliates, you know, obviously making money from Amazon. But they launched these specifically for monetization. There was no emotion, no human behind it. They had no contact form. There was no name or photograph of the person that owned the website. It was difficult to actually find out who owned the website, even by looking on, you know, the domain information on who is. So it is very much a faceless thing. And I can understand Google's HCU in terms of it is nice to have a face. I ran some A-B tests on my homepage more than a decade ago with and without my face on. And I found that the whole feedback I had was, we don't care what your face looks like. We just want to know your face. So then all these people now are having to go and then rebranding themselves and saying, hi, I'm the owner. And you can contact me. But the other biggest thing that stopped them from ranking was that their homepage is all promotional blog rolls. So every week or even day, they're publishing articles would change. And I've experienced this before with an American company. And they were doing conferences themselves in tech. Ideal fit. And I said to, you know, an interview, I had three interviews, and each interview I said, you know, you've got a blog roll on your homepage. It's all changing. Google's not going to do, you know, what is it that you want to sell? And they said conference tickets in tech or specific subjects, exactly like Brighton SEO. And I said, okay, well, I'm on board with that. So we need some static content on the homepage, please. And they were like, no, we don't want that. And I was like, well, it's Squarespace. I said, you can do that, Squarespace. No, we're not changing our entire brand for you. I'm like in month one. And I said, but fundamentally, you prevented me from doing my job by not allowing me. And I fought tooth and nail. You can imagine how passionate I am about this. My job is to make, you know, why are you paying me if you're not allowing me to do my job? And I was furious. And I had it out with them over Skype. And I said, look, the bare minimum, if you want the blog roll there, that's fine, but that's got to be below. I want the static content to be above the fold and the first thing that loads. That's what I want. And they said, okay, well, we'll go with that. But long story short, the role kind of changed. It was, it kind of went into LinkedIn marketing. I don't know about you. Do you have, I've never really valued LinkedIn as a, apart from connecting people to help others, I haven't had any business from LinkedIn, and neither Twitter, and I don't care, because I'm so doing so well with my organic work and you know, sharing on Twitter Spaces and then today with you in a podcast. The brand SEO lady, I've got growing pains. I turned down a client. What day are we on now? Friday, Wednesday. This chappy booked a call with me, and I said, "How did you find me? You know, SEO freelancer." And he says, no, we spoke on the phone about 6 years ago, and it was with a different company, and I really like you, but the company chose someone else. So he said, I've now got this company, and it's in solar panel installation. I was like, cool, I've done that. I said, do you offer funding? I said, or do you have installers? And he said, no, we're just selling the leads to others. We don't have. And I was like, fine, I'm on board with that. Your domain's not live. Oh, no, we're launching it next week. Okay, and what, you know, to get these leads in, you're advertising on social media, what, how many is you getting at the minute? Yeah, we're getting about 3 a week at the minute. And I said, so what is your aim? And they said, well, you know, 10 to 15. And I said, a week. And at the same time, he said, a day. And I said, okay, that's achievable. So talking about timescales and budget then, don't say to me as soon as possible, because I'm not entertaining that. Give me a time frame. He said 3 months. I said October, November, December, January. So in 3 months, you want me to rank an entry website for 10 to 15 leads a day for solar panels. Who's going to write the content? Because I can't. It doesn't matter. No, we've already gone in the back end, and we've uploaded the it's all SEO ready. I said, define SEO ready. He said, well, you know, it's we've got everything, all the plugins. And I said, are you talking about Yoast? He says, yes, I am, yes. And I said, that's a traffic light indicator. It's not, you can't just install Yoast and think that you're going to get to Google page one. And he said, oh, okay, noted. And I said, so let's just bypass that a sec. Who's going to write the content? And then it's two business owners. And the second chap, he said, well, that would be me. And I said, okay, so let's have a look for, let's say Glasgow. It's not, but let's say Glasgow. Solar panel installers, Glasgow. I said, so you're with me here. Let's share my screen. Look at this. There's your one, two. So there are your ads. There's your Google Maps. And then these are the organic ones. I said, there's a difference, look, between paid traffic and organic. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, natural. Yeah, got it. No. Oh, right. Okay. I said, so what you need to do is these people have been away for doing their own SEO for 5, 10 years. Even 2 years is better than a week old domain. I said, Google trusts domains by their age. I think the figure banded around is around 2 years. So anything over that, which feeds into the funky pigeon on January, I'm going to start writing about Christmas cards. So Google does trust the domain itself, but it also trusts the old URLs. So effectively, I said, all right, so these pages, these websites that we're looking at now, doing the site search indicator, you're looking at 50 to 60 pages. So I need 50 or 60 articles before you can hire me. Is there any way around this? And I said, no, there's no magic wand at all. Nothing. I'm not Harry Potter, no. I said, no. Well, we really want to hire you. And I said, but you've not asked me whether I've got the capacity, and I haven't. But you don't need me at a dozen hours a month. What you need is an agency. You need an agency per month with a team, or a bum on seat, part-time SEO if you can't afford an agency. Well, how much is an agency? And how much are you charging? And I said, well, you know, it depends. You're going to have to search for your local area, Glasgow Digital Agency. I'd recommend that. You can go to the offices and you can speak to them in person. And I said, but I really, you know, I'd love to do the work, but I don't have the capacity. And on the back of that, the growing pains I mentioned, in lockdown, I was hiring a lady off People Power at £15 an hour. I don't know, plumbing. I want 500 words on plumbing, knowing that I can write the other 500 words, call to actions, and turn the article into a 1,000-word blog. And she delivered the next day. Now, I mentioned that I started training, 15 maybe plus years ago, and I've continued that, but I had to stop in lockdown simply because when lockdown happened, everybody that had their shop shut needed to start selling e-commerce as soon as possible. So my client base doubled, trebled in the first 18 months, which is still consistently today. A lot of my clients have been with me 10 years, 15 years for the portable toilet company. So it is kind of like getting married to your SEO. But I said to this girl, the fuck do you think you're doing charging 15 quid? I said, this is practically Nina. Now, I have probably invoiced 800 people for training, you know, Skype, Zoom, Meet, in my career, in person. And 800 people that I've trained, no one, I haven't found a Nina. And I found this, I discovered her, and I gave her a right good bollocking. And I said, you are underselling yourself. You are, you know, it's not a race to the bottom for 15 quid an hour. I said, you really have to start charging 25. And she was like, oh, but, you know, I haven't got expert. I said, right, I've got a deal for you. You write me 4 more articles, 500 words each on, I don't know, plumbing, tiling, this, that, the other, underfloor heating. That was another one. And I said, for free, and I will give you a lesson. And she says, deal. So that was it. And she delivered in 2 days, really hot off the press. So then I delivered the training for her. And I said, okay, now the 4 articles that you've given me, knowing what you do know now, I want you to take them back and I want you to re-deliver them to me how I would do it. So you've got the core 500 words. Now it's your job to do the call to action, the summary, and then I want to do, you know, what are you going to do? Because she wasn't really au fait with WordPress tags and categories. She knew the H1. She did ask me when I approached her for the plumbing website, what keywords do you want me to do, which no other copywriter's ever done for me. I've had to say, this is the spec and this is what I want you to do. I was just in awe of this girl. I spoke to her this morning. I said, I'm going on this podcast with Mark. It's my first time. And I said, I've had to turn down this client at a potential $2,500 this week. And I know that now she's charging £50 an hour. It's 3 years down the road. Anything that I can't do with my capacity, I pass over to my protege. And she's at capacity now. So I asked on Spaces. It's again, this was the day that I had to turn down the solar panel guy. I said, how am I going to get around this? And he said, well, you've trained Susie. And he said, but so do you want to hire people at your level? And I said, no, I want some more Susies. I want some more Susies that see themselves at £15 or £20 an hour. And I said, these are the people that are copywriters ideally, so that they've got the skills. And I said, I'm not talking about AI. I'm just talking about natural skills. Is that sometimes you've got the personality, sometimes you haven't. And I saw a lot of me in Susie. And I said, so if we can get more, you know, I could say more, I'm a woman-led brand now, if we expand to this and then we bring in more freelancers. And then, and he said, well, you're saying you're at capacity. When are you going to train them? And I said, well, I'll do the initial call and Susie will sit in with me. But Susie now does the consultations and training herself. And because she only knows the SEO lady brand of doing things, I know that that is all she's going to teach other people. She's got no bad habits to break. So that is going to be hopefully something that I need to do, because it's nothing worse than turning down money.
Well, I can certainly relate to that. I turn down many, many, many thousands of pounds all the time, because the problem is, do you find that people come to you because they want you? And it doesn't matter how good somebody is. If it's not me, they feel shortchanged, because I am the brand I am.
Yes, yeah. And that's a very good point. But this is where I'm thinking, I was discussing this with Susie this morning, is that I will need to change my homepage and say what I've just said to you, but on my homepage, you know, it's a woman-led agency, this, that, the other. I have got other people that do pay-per-click, for example. I've got people that do media and video and editing and stuff like that I don't do. So I'm going to essentially be a digital agency, but I'm saying that at all times, you have always got my email address, or you can ping me on WhatsApp. I am not just going to hand everything over to Susie, or just like give you an hour's training and then leave you to get on with it. I will be in touch. So I really do want to be the face. But I think, yeah, because I started on People Per Hour in 2009, fast forward all of these years, I've probably got close to 500 reviews on People Per Hour, all five stars. Of course they are. Google Business, I've got, I think it's 89 or 90 or so. And all of these, you know, these reviews are backed up. And on my reviews page, I've said, these are all my clients, from Funky Pigeon to toilets, from carpet cleaners to plumbers, to e-commerce, to local business. You know, whatever your size, I white label myself to agencies. I can help anyone. I've forgotten the original point now, and if you just let me catch up with myself. And I was thinking is that remaining with my photograph on the homepage, changing the content to say, to explain to people, that's, you know, it's a very valid point. All right, you're an agency. I mean, how many agencies have we worked with? And there is that Bertie Big Bollocks, but you can't actually speak to them because you always get assigned a developer or a designer or something. And they act as like the barrier between you and, you know, the powers that be. And I don't want that to be the same with me. I want people to know they can connect.
Yeah. I mean, I've done the whole agency thing.
Have you?
For me personally. Yeah, I've done an agency thing. I've built a UK-wide franchise. I've done all that, and I just don't want to do it again. But that's a personal choice.
Mm.
You know, I think it's, for me, it's not it's more of a personal choice that. For me, I just want to focus on the training and speaking now.
Yeah.
Just me. I don't want to employ people. If companies come to me and they need help actually implementing things, well, I know lots of people that can do that for them.
Yeah.
And I'll just, you know, make sure that people that I know and trust can do a good job for them can do that side.
Mm.
See, it's a diff, because, but personally, it's up to the individual. You know, there's far too much, well, we have to scale, we have to do this. Well, you don't have to do anything.
I've always been fighting against it because I didn't want to scale, but money and help, I want to help people. And, you know, the people that say, I spoke to you 6 years ago and I'm waving money at you and you're saying no, and I don't think it's a sex thing. I'm emotionally invested in people like that, in business owners. We've all been there at the start. And to, you know, to be at the beginning of somebody's conception, like when Funky Pigeon was just an egg, that kind of thing. I love the whole growing brands or e-commerce or, you know, the case studies I've written on people so that people can see for themselves, you know, like you said, are they buying into you or are they buying into your reviews? But I say, just contact anybody that you see on my website. Here's a few case studies. Here's a Shopify one. Here's a Kajabi one. Here's a Magento one. Here's a WordPress one. Here's a domain migration from one to the other. Here's a platform migration from Wix to WordPress. These are the things that I'm confident and capable of doing. But again, it's just time. And I think I'm getting restless, I feel. I feel I just want to help more people. And I think today is another part of that, that, you know, doing this podcast today so that other people can understand how the mentality is of some SEOs versus the ones that are arguing on Twitter or, you know, splitting the difference, who's right and who's wrong. And then, you know, whatever. I'm keeping out of all that.
Yeah, you're better off, I tell you. So, like I say, you've basically trained lots and lots of individuals when it comes to SEO. What have you found has been some of the commonalities?
Some of the what, sorry?
The commonalities, you know, the problems, the issues they've been facing.
Yeah, it's budget. It's always budget. It's cheaper to pay 70 quid or 100 quid for an hour training. Like what I do is record Zoom calls or meets or whatever, and then I upload the video to YouTube as unlisted. So that client then can re-watch that at all time. But yet again, I'm out training myself out of a job. But a lot of the time, people cut their only budget is 70 or 100 quid just this one time. And the common denominator as well is I just need to know the basics. And this is what I'm doing so far. Can you pick this apart? Can you give me improvement? Can you do this for me? Put me on the right path. And then I will now know what articles to read, you know, or the websites that I've seen, or, you know, you need to sign up for this subscription. You get the marketing tips every Friday, what tools to use. And so I do over deliver with all of this. And I do. And I say to anybody that I've trained, if you get any questions, and I tell you what, if you've asked me twice and you ask me a third time the same question, you are not stupid. Because as you gathered today, I spout a lot of information and I talk at a million miles an hour, and it's easy to miss some things, but the human brain can't take in 60 minutes of a brand new knowledge. It's impossible. So you're not stupid if you don't remember. You're not, because I've asked several things multiple times. And that's what, so there was a whole thread on social a couple of months ago, and Susie waded in. I said, can somebody please give me a review of what it's like to work with me? And Susie piled in and she said, there are no stupid questions. Mm. And because I've taught her that.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of it is just that they can't afford an SEO. And I'm in this middle ground at the minute between the people that can't afford me, the people that can afford me and want to hire me, versus the $3,000 a month clients that I'm missing out on. So I'm in this between state now. Is that, how do I go from one client base to less clients, more focus for me. I'm more available. I've got more spare time. I can handle and manage people. But essentially, I don't want to have employers. I want to have other freelancers, because I know that in the UK, you've got the law, you know, the whole pension thing, the time off, everything else that you, as an employer, you're legally bound to do. And that I feel the way around that is to be a remote digital agency.
Yeah. I mean, it has to work for you at the end of the day. There's no set rule to say it has to be done one way or another. But, you know, as an individual, you've only got a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And it's how do you personally want to spread that time? You know, I mean, one thing I had to do, I tried to just help as many people as possible. And the problem is the net was just so wide and I had to start focusing in on things. You know, I had to say to them, look, I'm sorry, but this is my boundaries now. It was hard because I really like to help people, but I just felt as though I was spending hours and hours and hours helping people for little reward. You know, I'm always want to help people, but you have to sort of take a step back and think, look, you know, what's my personal goal? Where do I want to get this to? Will taking this client on help me get there?
Yeah.
You know, and it's very, very hard. I mean, I've been in that sort of state many times, and it's just like, and sometimes I do like, oh, you know, I'll do this. And next thing I know, it's all over the place again.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, I mean, for anyone that thinks it's easy, it's not.
I mean, the other option that I could do is sell SEO leads. If I've done the conversion, but I don't know how I feel about that, because I need to find someone that I trust that's got the capacity. Mm. And those two are essential. I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, I think that, yeah. Again, I tried that, but the people I trust are all busy.
Yeah, I know. They're the good ones. It's like trying to find a good developer.
For me, that, you know, would a good, really good SEO be sat there twiddling their thumbs?
Yeah, I know. Try getting a WordPress developer. Seriously. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Yeah. Yeah, I'll book you in for January. But my website's about to fall over. Sorry.
But, oh, wow. I mean, on that side, you know, we could go on forever.
Yeah.
But for your own, what makes you take, why the SEO industry? What is it? What is it about? What makes you passionate about it?
I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but I really have a big thing for when people praise me. I've got this thing whereby people thank me and I'm on a high. So I had a phone call from a carpet cleaner in Weston-super-Mare. Hi, Andy. He phoned me and he's another 10, 12 year client of mine. Very, very good relationship. And he does my carpets, of course. And he phoned me and he said, Nina, I'm sorry to disturb you on a Monday morning. He says, I've just got an issue with the website. And I'm like, oh, fuck, what have I done now? Or what haven't I done? And he said, I've got a real issue here. And I said, I don't know how to handle the problem. And I said, oh, spill it out. He said, I don't know what switch you flicked, but 2 weeks ago, I used to get 1, 2, 3 leads a week for carpet cleaning. He said, I'm now getting 3 a day. He says, I just want to know what you've done. So I said, well, it's kind of what I've not done recently. It's what I've continued to do. And the timeline is exactly Google's helpful content update. So I'm not just talking about carpet cleaning and rug cleaning. I'm actually giving tips on how to do DIY at home with a red wine spill. And not just for Weston Supermare, there's tiny villages around us, Barrow, Breen, you've got Banwell, all of these really, really small areas, Whirl. And then I say M5 corridor, you know, or we do Bristol down to Taunton, or it's extreme cleaning. And I said, I've been doing this forever. And going back to what I said about the aged URLs, because we've been working together for so long, I've been doing it for so long, and the old URLs are a decade old. So what I'm doing with these is bringing them up to date, whacking a bit of AI thing in there and saying, how do I do a red wine spill? Heavily human edited. I'd like to make that one of my favorite phrases forever. Heavily human edited. Do not control C, control V. I said to the solar panel guy, if you're going to be writing your own content, I says, I don't want you to copy and paste AI. And then he went quiet and he said, noted. So I can call what people are doing when they can't afford, when they haven't got the budget, they'll try and trick Google. And I said, you know, that is such a lovely thing to tell me, Andy. And it's the best problem, you know, you could wish for. But it's just because I've been repurposing old blogs and I've been bringing them up to date and I've got new YouTube videos. I send them to WhatsApp me videos and photos all the time. So, and I've got it on desktop, so it's easy for me to transfer large files and things like that and upload them to YouTube, of course, with links. And it's just that kind of feeling for me. And he said, I didn't want to email. I could have emailed. He said, I couldn't come and knock on your front door. He says, but I really wanted you to hear me on the phone about how delighted I am and thank you again. Oh, my heart.
Wonderful, wonderful. I mean, there's nothing more than seeing what you've done over the years suddenly sprout to life.
Yeah, bang.
You know, and I mean, everyone I've spoke to, every single person that's achieved something over a number of years said it's just consistency.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, the thing is, the people that, you know, do something, then stop because they think it's not working, then, you know, that's the problem. It's consistency. And again, if you're writing about the same subject over and over, going into minute detail and everything, isn't that just what we've been talking about for years?
Years.
You know, I just feel as though sometimes in the SEO industry, people start coming up, oh, this has just happened. Well, I were doing that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I've just, it's nothing new. You're just calling it something a bit different.
You're dead right.
You know that. Oh, my goodness, look at the time. Now, is there anything that you feel as though you need to bring front and centre that we haven't spoke about already?
The only other argument that I started last night, because I like starting, it's not an argument, it's a debate, Nina. There was a thing going around on Twitter about the top three ranking signals no longer include backlinks. Did you remember reading about that?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I didn't know, did I, that Dixon was actually there, wherever it was in America, when that was happening. And the guy, he said it was a joke, that he said that he knew Dixon was in the room and he knows he works for Majestic and obviously is off page. And he did it as a jibe to say that. So I brought it up and then he said, oh, I was actually there. And I'm like, oh, okay, I've spoken out of turn. And he went, no, you're fine. And I said, but the thing is, I am an on-page girl. What we've not talked about today is off-page. And I said, I am with him. With the top three ranking signals are not backlinks. Of course you're going to get backlinks. You're going to get backlinks from video SEO. You create your own backlinks with social media. You can even get yourself on eBay in your profile is linked back to your homepage. These are all the things, you know, so we've covered all of the on-page, you know, the video SEO, but what we haven't talked about is the off-page thing, and that's probably for another time.
Yes. I mean, that can, yeah, I feel as though that's a week's podcast and it's on. I mean, just the amount of confusion there is around, you know, and I think, but do you know what? A lot of things you've mentioned I can so relate to.
Yeah.
You know, totally can. And, you know, again, it's about honesty with people.
Yeah.
But, well, the time has come where we have to sign off. So I want to end by asking, is there anything that the people watching this can do for you? And what sort of conversations would you like to have with them? And where can they find you?
Well, obviously, you can just Google my name, Nina Payne, or the SEO lady. Please do get in touch if you are a copywriter. I'm not looking for somebody that already has exposure necessarily to SEO, but what I'm looking for is a training opportunity to bring you on board so I can give you some work, please.
Wonderful. And what's your website address?
SEOlady.co.uk.
Okay. And on that note, many, many thanks for joining.
You're welcome. It's been awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast with me, Mark A. Preston. Join us next time as I interview more top SEO professionals.